Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cheer Chat. I'm excited to get back at it. I have been on vacation and hello, Tan. But there's been a lot happening in our space, and I wanted to check in with you guys and see what was on your mind to talk about for Cheer Chat today. For those who don't know or aren't like familiar with the podcast, I tend to put stuff in my story to check in with you and to see like what's on your mind, what you want me to address, because I have been definitely not on the up and up with social media and keeping up with everything. So there's one big topic I know that everybody's probably eager to talk about, but I'm going to share some of the topics that people wrote in about and address them or address them later. And then we'll talk about just the changes in NFL cheerleading directors. That is kind of the majority of the topic discussed tonight. So somebody wrote in about facials. Like they went to a, let me just go over the overview first. And P.S. I don't have rosé. I ran out and didn't realize it. So I'm drinking Chardonnay, and I don't know that I really love Chardonnay, but anyway. So I'll just list the topics. Facials was one of them. I put a poll in because I find this topic so interesting, and you guys wrote in a lot about just commentary on it that I want to share, and hopefully I don't forget anything. One of the other topics was audition season. There have been a few auditions. Some teams have been announced. I think I'm going to have to table that to next week just so that we can have some time to kind of dig into the teams that have been selected so far. But we're in audition season, you guys, and I think at least like first round audition clinics are happening. Even NBA is getting ready to happen soon. So a lot going on there. So I'm going to probably push that to next week's Cheer Chat. Somebody wrote in and said the NBA dance team playoff, which I did like way back in 2020. Hella excited to try to bring that back. That's going to take a lot of work because it definitely took a lot of work. But if you guys are interested, I can try to pull it off again. I mean, it's hard to get video of the performances that you guys do, but you know, it's NBA playoff season right now, so we should have our own little something something. So I'll look into that. If you guys express interest, it will be worth the challenge of trying to get footage and having you guys vote and participate. So anyway, that's a topic. Let me know if you guys want to see that come back, because that was a lot of work. It was so fun and exciting and long, but I'll probably change things up a bit to make it a little more streamlined, as long as I can find footage of you guys performing. So anyway, that's a topic. And then somebody wrote in about college nationals in Daytona that just happened. I had it actually in my calendar. Hey, Quentin. I had it in my calendar because, you know, in my mind, I had thought I was going to try to go, because it is just so interesting. I can't really follow college because there's a lot. There's multiple championships, and I honestly don't know the space that well. But Anthony, if you want to get, I mean, there's so many of you guys that choreograph for these teams. So if anybody is interested in trying to chime in and talk about the experience, your teams that you coach, how they performed, what the vibe is like, do let me know, because there's been some pretty phenomenal performances. I haven't caught up on everything, but I would be happy to open the floor for people who actually experience it and have teams that they support to talk about it. So that's not happening today, but it's okay. And then it's just, you know, a lot of shakeup and in terms of leadership changes in the NFL with the cheerleading directors. And I just want to say a couple things, because when things like this happen, it definitely impacts our community. You guys know that the NFL cheerleading positions do not shift very often. I mean, we have like very long tenured directors in this space. And when changes like this happen, there's lots and lots and lots of waves of impact. And when I put the story out of what people wanted to talk about, there were a lot of responses, and I think one response in particular may have triggered just a big fat misunderstanding that I want to clear up right now. There's a lot of rumors about, in particular, the Raiderette's director, and I don't have tea or dirt to spill on how that happened, what happened. I was trying to communicate that, just that I have questions. Anytime there's something that happens in our space, you guys, we don't have a news outlet dedicated to what happens in our space. Anytime something big like this happens, I try to open the floor up to people to communicate about it. Like, we're all a community, and I know this is something that impacts a lot of people and that they wanted to discuss it. That was the, as far as I saw sharing the repost. Anytime you guys write in and say what topics you want to discuss, I try to reshare it. Sometimes I comment on it, sometimes I don't. But I think, just to take a pause, I removed that from my story because I wake up this morning to a lot of, I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. I do this all the time. And that's really the only way that I know how to kind of move forward with the things that I initially planned on saying tonight for Cheer Chat. But I think there was just a perception, and you guys can, I love accountability. Okay. For the record, I have no problem like admitting if I'm wrong. Nobody's perfect, right? And I don't like misunderstandings. I don't like miscommunication, et cetera, et cetera. And so if there was a perception that I was going to be talking shit tonight or spilling tea tonight or spreading rumors tonight, like, absolutely not my intention and never really what this podcast has been about. As much as, like, I hope I'm just giving this public service announcement one good last time that, like, I care about this space. This is not, I'm not Wendy Williams. I don't have like a gossip site or a blog. I spend my own time, my own money, my own resources to try to like promote what I see as kind of superheroes in this space. And there are people that I've held in very high regard for a very long time. I think I have been extremely vocal about how I feel about the Raiderettes program. And so it was a little unsettling to get some messages this morning that I'm just going to say I felt attacked my character. Thank you for saying that. That's not your style, babe. We know you. Thank you, because it's not my style. I don't get down that way. And, you know, I don't have the particulars of what happened, but I know the impact that this news has on some of these leadership changes in our community. And that's what I want to address tonight. I already had comments that I wanted to make and just questions that I wanted to share of like the things that run through my mind. Like, I'm a lawyer. I think, and I ask questions and I question things. It's not even about speculation. Like, we don't, like I said, have a news outlet dedicated to the space. There's no reporting of any kind on things that happen in our space. So anytime there's like a news headline or an event that happens in our space and I choose to address it on the podcast, I'm literally trying to explore real time with you guys, like what's going on, especially when it's something that's harmful or a big dang on deal, right? I'm not here to kind of like do the most with that. Like, everybody loves tea. Everybody loves, you know, the inside scoop. Sometimes people reach out to me with it. Sometimes it's something I'm able to share. Sometimes it's not. But I'm going to stick to what I initially planned on saying tonight because that's how I roll. But I can't really do it, you guys, just to be honest. Like, I can't really do that in good conscience without sharing like some of the shit that came my way today. I just can't, because it was like an actual, like, I'm viewing it as an attack on my character, and I don't appreciate it because I don't think that I have exemplified in any way that that's what I'm stand for or that's what I'm about. Okay, so here goes. I'm just getting little highlights because it's important. I don't appreciate it. Like, I feel like there's been attempts to try to influence or intimidate me or bully me into what I say on this podcast, and I don't know where the hell that's coming from. I initially planned on saying all of the impacts that I see this departure. I think it's a very unfortunate situation. There's a lot of impact there. I'm going to say what I was planning on saying, but it's not because this person reached out to me and said all of these things, okay? I was accused of seeking attention at the expense of real people's lives and spreading misinformation. Why do I find validation in exploiting the struggles of others for my own gain? Why I perpetuate the suffering of others? Like, somebody said I was doing shit for likes and follows. Like, that's just not how the hell I roll. And I'm just going to stand on that. You guys can react if you want to, but it just needs to be said. I have repeatedly, like I said, mentioned how much I respect and admire TIFF as a leader and the Raiderettes program. Go watch a million cheer chats, because I don't think that there is anything that would suggest that I would come on here and try to take this unfortunate situation and just be salacious about it. Like, who does that? Like, people reaching out to me saying that the team is going to be on here and they want to make sure that I'm being professional and that I'm not gossipy. Like, I don't really know what that's about. I this is not a gossip segment. I'm just going to say it now. If you're looking for the drama or you're looking for, I don't even know. That's not why. That's just not how I get down. Okay. So I'm going to go into what I was initially going to say, despite this person reaching out to me saying all these things this morning. I had a whole day to process. I'm in a good space, and I'm going to continue to just highlight what I think is just some of the accomplishments that I've always admired, that I've always talked about, which makes the news that unfolded of TIFF leaving the program just that much more damning, right? Like, I'm sure you guys have seen the post. I just want to highlight what I think is just a lot of accomplishments, I would say. I've been watching the space for the past 5 years, and I think TIFF being enrolled for 3 years in this position, a lot has happened that I've seen from afar that I just want to say I think had a big impact on this space. I'm just ignoring comments. Harl, so sorry. you're an amazing human. I fully support you. I appreciate that. And yes, second that. I appreciate it, you guys. I mean, I literally had to calm down today because this is a very sensitive topic, a very sensitive time. I know people are hurt, upset, confused, protective even. And I'm going to give grace to that because, I mean, everybody's entitled to their feelings, but I have feelings too. And I actually kind of felt a little disrespected today. But, you know, I let it go, and I'm going to speak on what I initially planned on speaking on, because what I've observed over the past 3 years is just a complete, I won't even say a revamp, because Raiderettes were always the shit to me, always. But with the shift to moving to Las Vegas, I just think what I've seen in the past 3 years has been a very remarkable blow up, if you will, of this program. And this is counting pandemic years and the whole nine yards. But I just want to acknowledge what she accomplished during her tenure. Planning a 60th reunion with all of the alumni of this organization, doing it in a manner that was just so class act and making everybody feel loved and valued. I try to showcase that. I had one of the former cheerleaders join me for cheer chat talking about what the experience was like. Somebody says, thank you for creating such a beautiful space. We love you. I love you guys too. I'm all about love. I'm not here to revel in gossip, jealousy, and negativity while sipping wine. That was another cute little line. That's not me. I do sip my wine. I do talk my shit when there's shit to be talked about. I don't like injustice. I don't like people doing people dirty. I don't like hearing about mistreatment of dancers. I don't like hearing about disrespectful behavior of management. You guys, if you've been rocking with me for 5 years, and you know the type of stuff that I address, and you know that I only kind of go here when I have been crossed, in a way that's just unnecessary. And I'm just trying to clear it up for the record, but I appreciate the support. I appreciate the understanding. I'm going to extend all of us some grace. Like I said, I removed my shit from my story if it gave the impression that that's what I was about, but I'm just going to like I said, just keep going on some of the highlights of her career, and people can chime in and speak to what TIFF has contributed to your life. She's trained so many dancers in this space, done back in the pandemic when people were offering classes online. I think she's encouraged a lot of people to audition for teams. And so, like I said, I think this is a situation where there's a huge impact. The Junior Raiderettes program was revitalized under her leadership. The Raiderettes dance studio opening up, which you guys, like, taking like the NFL cheerleading experience and making it open to the public is a huge deal. This is where they practice, and you know, it's genius to actually have a studio where you actually bring in master choreographers for master classes, do all of the things to actually generate income and for your organization. Like, I don't know what all went into all that discussion. I mean, we had a clothing line going on with Raiderettes, but all of these ways of bringing value to the organization. She mentions in her post $500,000 in sponsorships, which, you know, what did we have as an example of this, you guys, in terms of success? I think it was just DCC, right? Where like they were a humongous marketing machine and had reached that, you know, international notoriety being in the Smithsonian, et cetera, and raking in scholarship money. Okay, I got my daughter on my mind. Raking in the sponsorship money. But I think that's a tremendous accomplishment to reach $500,000 in, you know, high quality esteem sponsorships and partnerships with vendors in your city. Like when I visited and I saw that, I don't know the actual name, it was not Iron Mountain, it's something mountain or something like that, where they actually had a room in their facility for physical training for their dancers. And that's actually like the name that's on the practice facility for the guys. I mean, what a way to leverage the team sponsorship so that it trickles down to the dancers. Like, I think that is remarkable. And it's something that's just was newer in the space of kind of having like a dedicated, I'm seeing it more, trust, of like athletic trainers dedicated to the dance teams. Somebody said something, and I'm going to drink a little more wine. Somebody says, you absolutely support ProCheer in our space. As a Raiderette who's on your show, I know your heart, and it's beautiful. Thank you so much. You were on my favorite episode about being a mom while being on a team, and I appreciate you. I'm not perfect, like you said, you guys. I make mistakes. I do my best to try to like carry a voice sometimes on difficult topics. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of difficult conversations. I'm not afraid of, again, just kind of like saying what needs to be said, and also just, but I know I'm empathetic. I know I give a damn. I know that this impacts people in a very real way. So thank you. I'm going to try to respond and not just be like, okay, whatever, back to what I was saying. So thanks for bearing with me as I kind of wave back and forth, but I appreciate everybody's comments. The one thing that I thought was really crazy is just that you have, you know, everybody doing like the virtual first round for auditions, right? And some teams are posting like, oh, we had applicants from like such and such number of states and, you know, I don't know, such and such number of colleges represented and so forth and so on. But I was blown away by this stat of 2,300 audition registrations for Raiderettes, you guys. 2,300 people who want to be a part of this team, this program, people who either may be trained with TIFF, this has been their dream team on their radar, and they actually, like, to reach that number, I think, is a little insane. Like, it's incredibly, I mean, it speaks volumes to, like, how I think the visibility of this program and, you know, just all the things that they've accomplished, like, that many people would actually registered to audition. That's a huge number. And I mean, I didn't have time to do like comparative stats and stuff. I know I did see one that was like 300 or so submitted audition videos for a different NFL team. But like, if for just context, you know that that's like a huge number. I know we're virtual now, but like, I feel like this team has elevated to that point where it's kind of like the team to be on, where it, you know, to me, used to be obviously DCC only. Maybe the show going away maybe changed some of that. But this has been on everyone's radar, I think, for a very long time. I cannot tell you how many comments that I get or messages about, like, how people appreciate what the Raiderettes have been doing. They do this right. They do that right. Like, I did a whole spiel on their calendar. And, you know, I just think a lot of people have been paying attention to this program and why, and that's why it's been just like so earth-shattering, if you will, of like this news dropping. Okay. I think from just what I was aware of in terms of increased pay for the Raiderettes, just the whole elevation of fabulosity level, like through the freaking roof, like seeing them, what the heck was the racing thing that was going on in Vegas? Like just seeing them on the scene for all of the events, promotion, like just the high level visibility of the Raiderettes with the Super Bowl there. Like, I just think that reaching that point where you're kind of like the go-to, like we want you to be a part of our events, especially within the city, is huge. And I just think when I went on and on about the calendars, because I did receive 2 years of calendars, you know, being able to shut down Las Vegas to do those types of photo shoots in casinos, in front of important landmarks within the city, I just, again, I think that speaks volumes of like how the program has been elevated. And I also just wanted to say that, like, I've always kind of been, I'm not a director, never been, whatever, but I've always been empathetic and thoughtful of what the experience must be like to be a director of a team, because I did a freaking episode about it. You can go and look if you want to. It was called Can't Knock the Hustle, because we are part of a very, it's a community and it's loving and so forth and so on, but it's also a little, you know, it's rough. It's cutthroat a little bit. People get cut. Things have to happen. Like, there's a lot that's out of director's control and they're out of their hands. There's clearly like a front office and the dynamic with executives that has to be like, there's such a balancing act. And I've always kind of been mindful of like, this is a whole world that none of us can really understand unless you're an actual director. But I think because of all the accomplishments and so that I've, like I said, witnessed over the years, you know, it is a slap in the face to think that, you know, unlike maybe your corporate setting where you might, like if you're not performing at whatever standard, there's like performance improvement plans and things like that where you get a little feedback, or you might have like a 360 feedback process where you're hearing from people, because, you know, it would be valuable if, you know, there is actual, like, I would say input from other, from people who are on the team, from people who work with people, like before you're actually making that kind of a decision, especially as untimely as this decision was made to happen. Like, they just closed the first round of auditions last week, and so a lot of people that were writing in was just like, this is like the team that I wanted to be on. They're considering cross-country moves. They're like devastated because this is like the team that they're trying to plan their lives around to audition for. And it was in large part based on, you know, their, you know, image of the team and the program. And I think sometimes when you have these like leadership changes, and there's a few that I didn't even freaking know about, like the Denver Broncos director is no longer there. The Miami Dolphins, their head coach kind of posted that she's no longer a part of the organization, I don't know the circumstances around it, but you know, you do see some shifts in what's happening in our space. And I think, you know, I just would hope that things are being handled in a respectful manner for everybody involved, because you are making a lot of sacrifices to everybody's impacted. Like I said, from auditionees to people who are on the team, to people who are alumni of a program, like there's a lot of like influx around like what happens next. And I don't really know. These are the questions that were running through my head that I was speaking to that I wanted to kind of like just put out there. It's just, you know, I know these positions don't come up very or come open very often, but I just noticed that like it looks like the former DCC cheerleaders like Cash in Miami and JC in Minnesota, you know, that maybe that's kind of, I don't know if that's like a wave or trend in terms of like the next crop of like NFL directors. But you know, you have, it makes you wonder about like style changes and like if it's going to be something where, if it's not somebody who's like part of the, who's an alumni of the program, if there's going to be like changes to the style or changes to, just the essence of what that team's about. And, you know, I really do want to just say that I think, I don't really know if you guys could identify like kind of like that next up and coming crop of leaders that would be somebody that we as a community would all respect and feel excited about. Cause the last thing, I mean, I've seen so much over the past 5 years, you guys, like where, you know, somebody's putting these roles that maybe aren't as qualified, or who knows how they go about selecting directors, but I do hope, again, like, everybody's deserving of respect, and I don't know how this particular situation was handled, but I do think that our voices do matter, and I hope that I just hope nothing for the but the best for everybody who's impacted, like everybody. Like, it's, I don't know what people thought the hell I was gonna say about this situation, but I think it is a loss. I think she's accomplished a lot. I think that, people who look up to this program have right to and to be concerned. Like, what does this mean? When are you gonna announce who's taking over? Like, what are people even gonna know about what that type of change will mean? And I think they're just legitimate concerns, and that was all I wanted to address tonight. I don't know much about the Denver Broncos situation. I just learned of that last night. But you guys, this, the floor is always open if you want to, share your observations or concerns. I mean, that's what this platform is for. It's not about trashing or bashing anybody. But I will say that, like, we don't know what's happening behind the scenes of any program. Like, I'm going off of what you guys see. Like, I see the same posts and the same positivity and the same, everything's on the up and up. And I'm just only extending the opportunity for people to share their experiences because some people don't feel safe doing it. That's how this whole podcast freaking came about in the first place, because there was just, there's a culture in our space of you can't speak on things because of fear of retribution or that it will impact your chances of being on a team. And that's how this podcast launched, just having a safe space to address things in a respectful but also very honest manner. I'm sorry if the truth scares people, but I just want to, like I said, just open it up for you guys to communicate with me about what you would like communicated and shared with the rest of our community. And that could just be what TIFF meant to you. That could be like what you're concerned about, whether you're on other teams. Like, that's literally just the whole point of the program. Point of the program. It paused, but I'm gonna open the floor for anybody who has anything to say. But I just wanted to hop on and let you know that I was not flipping the script because I was extremely offended this morning. I think my esteem and the comments that I had in mind are still true, and that's just the way that I'm wired. But I open the floor to anybody who has anything else to add on this. I mean, these are things that impact all of us. So the floor is open. I'm gonna look back at all of our topics. Did I talk about facials enough? No, I did not. Okay, I kind of just did like an overview. We're switching gears, guys. I'm over it. Okay, hold on. I'm over explaining like what this is about and what I'm about. So let me talk about facials just to switch it up. The poll was that 62% said yes, facials belong in the NFL. 38% said no. And I, so like with Seahawks, right? Switch gears. Yes, here we go. With the Seahawks, my former director was not a facials. She was not about the facials. She wanted a smile, a pleasant face, smiles with the eyes like Tyra Banks. But, not winking, no competition faces. Like, I don't even know how to explain that. I don't know if the person was talking about like the faces that people make in competitions where it's like every 2 seconds there's a new expression on your face. I'm not a fan of facials, but I know that like if you actually are in the pocket with the music and you're feeling it and you're just kind of like, I don't know, something might come over your face, and that's okay to me. I just think it's kind of like the just the dramatics. And I think with NFL, because of how far we are from the audience at any given moment, like the other facial expressions other than a smile are not going to be AEIOU. Ew, is that what people are told to do? Somebody says too much facials kill me. Yes, because it's kind of like it's not giving anything that people maybe intend. It's very, it's just, I just can't. And like, I think a nice smile just kind of like people can see that from the 300, 400 level. NBA might be a little bit different. People are closer, you can see a little bit better. But overall, I just think facial should be intrinsic to like how you're feeling about the music. Like, I don't mind a little stank face, but if it ain't a stank face moment, then just don't do too much. People were saying, yes, like, just, you don't have to do it every few seconds. Like, I. But a lot of people said, I mean, 62% saying yes makes me think that maybe people are more about the facials than I am. But I think with pictures, somebody made a great point that with pictures, like, if they catch you in the middle of like a weird expression, like, that's not going to translate very well on camera. Like, I think that people forget how much we're photographed. And so a nice smile, or like, you know, even when you're like standing on the sidelines and you're, nothing's happening, you know, we're supposed to be smiling because people take pictures all the time. And so I just think facial expressions are extra. And if you're, oh, somebody made a good point too, that kind of like, if you're really like into the performance and you are, how did she put it? It was so good. Just kind of like, you don't need to do all that. It should just come natural because you love what you're doing. Your joy for it should just come through in your face. And I freaking agree with that. I think that that's how it should be. Like, it should just be because you love the song. You know what I mean? We're over it. Okay, we're already belaboring this point. But let me see if there's anything else to discuss that that doesn't need to wait until next week. Audition season. Okay, I'm going to just put questions that I have for you guys about audition season. Somebody did write in and kind of was just like, how do people know, you know, like, or can people share, how about that, of like what was required as part of the audition process in terms of technique and skill, like, so that people have a little bit more of a sense. Maybe you're not able to go to the audition prep classes, but like, how do you know what it takes to actually be on a team? And again, this is a lot. There's a big, I would say, like, reason behind that, because you guys don't really get to see what people do on the field. So you don't really have a good, maybe the best sense of what technique and skill levels require, which is why I try to travel and get footage from games so that people can see like what you guys are actually doing and know what they need to level up to in order to make the team. And, you know, maybe everybody, like I said, is not able to go to an audition prep class to see, but I'm just going to say, if anybody wants to share what their audition experience was like, or things that caught them off guard, things that they were asked to do, maybe there's just some new trends on the audition requirements that we need to discuss. So I'm going to leave that to you guys to let me know how things have been going for auditions, how your audition prep programs have prepared you. Oh, we got a comment here. Bare minimum for auditions is a double pirouette, great kicks, and great jumps. Somebody says basics, kicks, double turn, leap, calypso. I think that's about right. From what I can, but you know, we got some tricks. Some people love some tricks. We got heads. Oh, somebody said splits. Okay. Hopefully this is helpful for people who aren't sure, but like, having your splits, having high kicks, having like that flexibility, a double pirouette is a minimum, that calypso, I don't know about the extra tricks, head springs, whatever the other things, y'all. I didn't do all that stuff and I'm so glad I didn't have to. But yeah, like, thinking about the skills and technique that you would need to make a team, kip up and head spring for your more hip hop teams. Okay. Because the worst thing that, you know, showing up and not feeling prepared at an audition is tough. Or maybe your audition video for that initial submission is not hitting on those things to show that you can do it. So then it's like, maybe you're disregarded off the jump. And so it's just stuff to think about, of like putting your whole entire life into that initial audition submission video so that you can show that you're capable of doing all of those things. But yeah, there's a lot for hip hop, especially. Yeah, there's, hopefully this has been helpful. You guys, I am recording my podcast, or my cheer chats, for the podcast. It'll be like wherever you get your podcast. So if you need to listen back to this, you can, and you can skip around and whatever, but hopefully that's helpful for people who kind of wanted to know that information about auditions. We do have a couple teams that have been formed, and I hope to, kind of have to wait it out. 'Cause you know, they got to take pictures, they got to put their bios up. Like, it might not be as much to say just yet, but I'm more curious about what your experiences have been like. What did you do to prepare? What were your successes, wins? Because I do want to celebrate that with you. Like, for you making your dream team, like all of the things. Like I enjoy hearing about that. It may not be like, you know, cheer chat talk about it, but I really root for you guys making your teams and having your dreams come true. So I think I have covered off on everything. Anything else for the good of the order? Who likes white wine? I mean, it's okay, but rosé is just so much better to me. Okay. I'm going to wrap. Your transparency is admirable. Thank you for facilitating a positive space for open discussion. Thank you so much. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm about. And I appreciate you guys rocking with me and understanding where I'm coming from. Nobody likes to have their character kind of like attacked, right? Sauvignon Blanc all day, baby? What? Okay. I'm not on that. Does it make you sleepy and want to like fall? Like, is it just heavy? Maybe I need to try. Ooh, okay. Sauv Blanc people are saying. All right, if you have wine recommendations, everybody loves white wine. What is my problem? I'm a rosé all day person. Okay, I have no idea where I even got this from. It's something called Backstory. How do people even keep track of all the wine that's out there in the world? If you want to share your favorite wine with me, oh, rosé needs to be bubbly. Okay, I can feel that. If you want to share your recommendations with me, I will do a little wine tasting before I go live. All of the wine, like it's better than me having like a vodka soda, like that's tacky, but I'll take recommendations. I'll just leave it at that. I do want to share because it's a positive note to leave on. I went to a good friend had her 70th birthday party. She called it her second 35th birthday. And she had, oh my gosh, at one point there were 18 of us because she had a whole party bus in Miami. And we went on a jazz cruise. I saw Patti LaBelle for the first time. Hello, Life Made. And Michael McDonald, you guys are too young to know who the hell that is. I hope you know who Patty is, though, for real. But I will say I did have a blast because, one, you know, you're dancing on, like, this pool deck floor and everybody's, like, just living their best life. Everybody's retired, okay? I don't even know if I was the youngest person on the – which says a lot. You see these grays. But it just reminded me of, like, how beautiful dance is. Like, seeing people just in their own world of all ages – physical abilities, like just dancing their behinds off. I'm telling you, like till late at night, like they actually out partied me a couple times. But it was just so fulfilling to see people just connecting through music and through dance like that. I felt really fulfilled. I danced my behind off the whole time. I know that there's a lot going on right now with music, with Beyonce's country. I mean, there's so much to talk about and I'll be back next week. I've been traveling a lot. But I just wanted to share that was really like filled in my cup because it's just nice to see people get lost in the music and just dance and not giving a damn of who's watching. I just felt like it was just so fulfilling in that way and freeing, right? Because nobody's thinking about choreography or how they look or whatever. It was just like, just living their best life. That was amazing. Any other things that people want to discuss? Before I stop, I truly appreciate you guys, and I am looking for anybody who wants to talk Daytona to reach out to me. I would even have like a group Daytona episode, or just college dance in general, and like maybe that's the topic that we need to do, is like college cheerleading on dance and how it feeds into pro, like what you guys are seeing in terms of like the development of the dancers. I feel like the dancers at the collegiate level are doing shit that's just like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I go to Pro Action, I've been to choreography pros, and I'm seeing the talent of these, you know, collegiate dancers and cheerleaders, and it is insane. But from a pro perspective, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on the talent, what it's like coaching. Like, let's make that happen. I would love that, and I'll try to get that booked and on the calendar. Definitely reach out to me if you are interested in being a part of that episode. I love seeing you guys in coaching positions. I think you're inspiring a lot of people to reach this level at the pro level. And some people are judges at these competitions. So it's a whole new world for me, but I would love to give you the floor for you guys to kind of like share what that experience is like, and because they are the future of our space, right? So happy to have that episode. And yeah, I'll be back with that. Let me know if you're down for the NBA Dance Team playoffs. I really kind of need a resounding like, yes, let's do it, because it was so much work. It was so much work, you guys. And I kind of fell out. Okay, now I'm just talking shit. I kind of like last time I did that, you guys, I reached out to the everybody follows. What's his account? His account is something that he posts, like NBA Dance Team performances. He's private. I forgot the name because, like, once you know. He was just really fussy and rude to me about like using the videos. I reached out to him in advance to get permission to use the videos, even though I think he just has a feed. There we go. SoCal teams. Thank you. Yeah, reached out to him when I was doing that competition in 2020 just to see if he was okay with me using that footage to go into the stories so that people can vote, et cetera, right? And sometimes I was taking it from YouTube, sometimes I was using it from wherever the hell his Instagram account, but he like flipped out and was really like he owned the rights to all of that, and I don't think he does. But I would love to try to figure out another way to get footage of performances, and just kind of like I said, flip the script a little bit. But let me know if you guys are really interested in that. I think we have to do something to keep our space lively and fun. And for me, it's just showcasing how talented you guys are in doing what you're doing. I remember when we did that PS, like sometimes the directors actually sent me their video because everybody's videoing the performances and for film purposes or whatever. And, you know, I might go to copyright jail, but if people want to submit like a jazz number and or a, you know, hip hop number, we can just kind of like figure it out to make it happen where I'm not relying on other people. I'm just probably going to get like banned in Instagram jail because of posting stuff. But it would be fun to try. I thought it was so entertaining. I see some people who were judges as part of that. I'll make your lives easier. Maybe we'll just do like the voting, like showing different teams and people voting for what they liked better. Oh, somebody has a comment. Hey, are you able to speak about the look that you need or should have when auditioning for pro? I feel like during my audition experience, I make it pretty far to the finals, etc., but never to an actual team because I don't have a preferred look. This is such an interesting question and topic because I keep thinking that we're making like strides in teams not really having a look, but the reality is they kind of still do operate from that mindset. When you say look, are you thinking of body type look or like facial look, hair look? I mean, there's so many layers to how people present themselves. I want to say that a lot of teams are, expanding their view of what the pro look is, which is a super refreshing. But I mean, let me see. You're just like the look that you need, I would say probably just depends on the team. And I know people probably always say that, but like, you know, looking at a roster and kind of getting a sense for like the hair and makeup standards. Oh, body type and hair. Okay. You know, I feel like for across the board, it's going to be like some level of glamour in the way that you present yourself. So, like, if you are not skilled with makeup and you do not va va boom the hair, I just think you're not showing that you have the like that aesthetic of a pro cheerleader. Like, they need to be thinking, I can put this person on a calendar cover or a, you know, like that you know how to like get glammed, put the fake lashes on, like do the whole thing, because I think that just shows that you understand kind of like just that stage performance and the look that is necessary for you to kind of like pop off the page, the screen, the whatever. In terms of like body type, again, some teams are expanding their view of just this petite, crazy skinny, flat stomach, just big boobs, long legs, like mindset and some, but I think you can kind of like get a feel, like you're having to do your research, right? With like the Instagram posts and just looking at photo shoots and what people look like. It's not to say that you're looking to see if you belong or that you need to do something to like match that. It's just like what's their vibe and their beauty standard? And if it's just kind of like a same old, and you don't really see yourself represented when you're looking at the team and researching them in that way, then I would say expanding that search to really see if there's something that's more suited or where you'd feel more comfortable just presenting your fullest self and your best self. And I don't think it should be based on who's made the team already. It's just trying to get a sense of like maybe the way that you present yourself and the way that you style yourself and what you're wearing to auditions and things like that. You know, you just kind of, you want to stand up, set yourself apart, and you want to be true to who you are. You don't need to go dyeing your hair and doing some drastic stuff, but it's like, whatever makes you feel like your best self, I think is just the biggest guide. And then if you're looking at other teams, just seeing what they're putting out there as their standard of beauty, right? And if it's not something that you, where it's clear they have a type, then maybe it, and it doesn't map to like how you view yourself or how you present yourself, it's okay to like look at other options. So hopefully that answered your question. But we're all beautiful. I think it's just like whatever makes you feel like your best self is how you should present yourself at auditions, you guys. Like, we don't have time to recreate who the hell we are. Like, I don't think, excuse me, there's a lot of value in that because, excuse me, that's something that you're going to have to maintain beyond just the auditions process if you make the team. Thank you for answering. You're so welcome. Any other questions, you guys, before I go? Send me those wine recommendations, y'all. But I'm just going to say, once again, I appreciate everybody, and the DMs are open. I just hope people are as respectful to me as I try to be respectful to them, and we can just keep rocking and having a very transparent and open dialogue. Okay, I'm about to sign off, and I wish everybody a great rest of the week. I will see you next week. Hit me up if you want to talk college dance team stuff, or if you want to do the dance team playoffs again. I so appreciated seeing that one. But I need more people to say yes before I jump off that ledge. All right, you guys, have a wonderful evening. I will talk to you later. Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.